What's up, Rams fans? Welcome into Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight's rumors, they are, of course, part of the offseason, but sometimes they just go a little bit too far. Plus, the Madden ratings are out. What does it all mean? And later, well, training camp is underway. We'll talk about who to keep your eyes on. Before we hop into the action, I did want to let you know, give you a reminder, ramshowcase.com. That is where you can find the latest surrounding Rams Showcase, as well as myself at Sheriff Joe Bags. At Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Becks. That's where the social media is at. But keep up with RamShowcase.com, especially as we dive into the season, as we get ready for preseason games to be played and all that stuff. That is absolutely where you'll find the bulk of the content. Still wondering or figuring out how I'm going to handle the game previews, but video versions of the game previews will continue. I believe that'll be a RamShowcase.com exclusive, though, but stay tuned for any updates on that. So, diving into the action here, the Rams did officially sign outside linebacker Byron Young, meaning that all of the drafted rookies are now signed. The Rams are typically one of, if not the last team to sign all of their rookies. This dates back to the Jeff Fisher era, so this really shouldn't surprise anybody, although we did see some of those top picks just get signed a few days ago, so the Rams were not the last team to sign all their drafted rookies. But they typically have been right into that range there. So with the preseason right around the corner, rookies, especially this season, they have a lot of eyes on them as we enter camp and the preseason. So Byron Young getting officially under contract. Kobe Turner as well, one of the late additions as far as getting officially under a contract. These guys, they have roles to play this offseason, and that's pretty exciting stuff. So I wanted to talk about one thing real fast. I know that... this topic has been pretty covered as far as the timing of this conversation goes, but I did want to mention it here. So the reports about Matthew Stafford, they talked about that originally that there was trade conversations between the Rams and other teams and potentially trying to unload him. And then it came out that the Rams tried to just restructure his deal, that it wasn't looking for a trade. It was looking to just redo his deal. And then, of course, Kevin Demoff did come out and say that none of that was true, that the Rams, if they wanted to get rid of Stafford, they absolutely could have. Cash-wise, it was absolutely an option. Dead cap-wise, maybe less of an option there, but it absolutely was still something that could have happened. And I'll be honest, if there was a season to just go ahead and drop Stafford and let's move on and let's just figure out the future... it was kind of this year, right? That kind of feels like a real thing. So I'm going to go ahead and side with the Kevin Demoff camp, not the Mike Florio camp here, because Florio thinks that Kevin Demoff is just lying all over the place. So who knows? But I'm going to go ahead and side with Kevin Demoff here and say that if the Rams really did want to move Stafford, I think it absolutely could have happened, especially pre-draft when that was obviously just a thing that... that the teams were looking for, especially at the top end of that draft there. I totally believe that somebody could have wanted Matthew Stafford as far as a trade goes. So it just makes sense, though, that that maybe the Rams would have asked for him to maybe restructure his deal. But again, the reports are now conflicting. We don't actually know what has happened here. We don't know if the Rams asked Stafford to take a cut or a restructure, and he said no. If they never reached out to him, we don't know what the conversations involving a trade looked like, because that all was a rumor started by Michael Lombardi on the Pat McAfee show. We kind of talked about that before on the live streams, Ram Showcase Live every Mondays on YouTube and Facebook. But so Michael Lombardi just kind of mentioned that it makes sense that they would have tried to trade Matthew Stafford, not reporting that they did try to trade Matthew Stafford. And of course, rumors just kind of run rampant at that point. So take that for whatever you will. Speaking of rumors, did want to talk about this one because, well, it's just not really cool. I know that I've had my my complaints, my gripes with sports media recently. And this one, I actually don't know the genesis of this story, but did want to mention it as well. Rumors, just going too far again. This time, a rumor came out that Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly Stafford, has cancer again, was the report. Kelly, of course, refuted this report and expressed her frustrations with it. And this is a quote coming from Kelly Stafford directly. She said, "Most of the time, I wouldn't care what people wrote because it didn't matter. This matters. This matters because it takes away from the people who are fighting this horrible disease, fighting to live another day, fighting to be here with the ones they love, fighting 24/7. So please send your prayers to them. I will reiterate it again. I do not have cancer and have never had cancer. I'm so sorry again for the ones who are fighting. And to you so-called journalists out there, be better and stop using me as clickbait because NFL camp is starting back. Kelly did not have a cancer diagnosis, by the way. It was a brain tumor that she had removed in 2019. So, yeah, I fully have Kelly's back on this one. The sports media took a comment that was said on her podcast just talking about how she's been dealing with some different health issues and that she was feeling some pain and stuff like that. She literally said in there, it's not cancer or anything, and somebody still took that and spun it and saying that she had cancer again. In order to have cancer again, you have to have cancer once, and that's also not something that Kelly Stafford has had officially dealt with, although her health history and her health path has been quite a story. She's quite the champion for the things that she's dealt with, but it's just one of those things where sports media needs to kind of just know what they're doing here and kind of... in a weird way to put it, know your role, kind of, because putting out a story like this, it is harsh. That you got to know when something is this serious, I feel like you really need to do your fact checking here. So Kelly Stafford, I absolutely have her back on this story. What a ridiculous way for somebody to twist something for clicks and plays. Again, just another example of where clicks and plays are more important than the quality of your content. And it's just a side that I'm having a hard time agreeing with here. Let's go ahead and move on, though. I wanted to talk about Madden. So Madden did release their ratings. They did it over a week span, really stretching this puppy out, which in most EA fashion possible, just spinning that conversation for as long as they can. They split the ratings, like I said, over a full week. And I'll be honest, they do this every single year, and it still gets everybody, right? So Madden, they typically short people on purpose. They short star players on purpose. They do things on purpose to spark conversation. Now, the Creed Humphrey thing, I think that that's just EA and showing their incompetence, because let's not confuse. Yes, they do things on purpose to stir up conversation, but they're still incompetent. Let's not pretend like they know what they're doing over there. So obviously, the Creed Humphrey thing, that one I feel like is just a mistake. They just don't know what they're doing out here. EA doesn't love football. They don't have people in there creating this thing that just love the game of football. It's for money. It's for microtransactions, all that stuff. So that, I think, is just an oversight. But the Madden ratings, this is a conversation. This is just to spike up the interest leading up to the game. And, hey, I mean, it works, right? I don't know what the Matthew Stafford rating was. I just know so many people were mad about it. Because I'll be honest, maybe I'm missing something here. Maybe I'm confused about the Madden ratings. But don't they change every week? I'll be honest, I haven't played Madden in years. It's been a long time since I've been a video game guy, and I don't say that as like, if you play video games, you're a certain kind of person. No, because video games are awesome, all right? I just am not one of the people that plays them anymore. I used to all the time. I logged some serious hours onto Madden and 2K5 and those games. I logged legitimate hours on those, but not anymore. Either way, what I'm trying to say is, don't they change every week now? Isn't it like the whole internet thing and the weekly update rosters? Like if week one happens and Matthew Stafford has a good day, isn't he going to climb up? So what would be the reasoning behind getting super, super upset about this, like the ratings just being low initially? Won't they change? Like, I guess maybe I'm confused here, and maybe I'm misunderstanding the value of the Madden ratings. But I'm going to let you know also, just because a player is rated a little bit low in the initial ratings, that doesn't just mean they're going to have a bad season. So it's going to be okay, right? And the way that the Rams roster is built right now with so many rookies on it and so many young guys, there's no way that any, like, if we don't know who's going to be good, the coaching staff doesn't know who's going to be good, there's no way that these dorks working for EA have any idea who's going to be awesome and what their like speed and agility and awareness ratings, what they legitimately are. That'll come over time. So let's look at the end of the season. I think that that'll at least be a little bit more accurate, or hopefully a little bit more accurate, considering this is ultimately a video game. It's not actually real life, so there's that part of it. And before we start talking about training camp here, because that is the bulk of what I want to discuss today, did want to talk about Hard Knocks a little bit and the fall of Hard Knocks. So obviously we know that the Jets have been forced into this season's Hard Knocks, and it's really unfortunate because I was always such a big fan of the Hard Knocks series. When it covered the Rams in 2016, I thought they did an awesome job. That one was just a cool one, though, because not only did we get Hard Knocks, but we also got All or Nothing. So from training camp until the end of Week 17, we had really in-depth coverage of the LA Rams from outside sources. And that was really cool to see, especially in our first year back in Los Angeles. You get to see, you know, obviously the Jared Goff rookie training camp and all that process. And then, you know, Jeff Fisher telling the team and the coaching staff that he had been fired. Mike Singletary comes up and shakes his hand and stuff like that. It's like stuff that you would never see, which was so cool. But Hard Knocks being in a position this year where the NFL had to kind of step in and just like be a dad and like tell somebody like, no, I don't care. This is what we're doing right now, right? Like, you don't have any say in this. Like, it's pretty extreme, I think, because Hard Knocks used to be such a respected thing. It used to get, you know, it was an inside look onto teams that we had not seen before. Like, I remember my first time watching a player be cut on Hard Knocks. It was like life-changing. It was like, oh my gosh, like it just humanized it, right? Now the Jets are saying we don't want to show players getting cut because it's inhumane and stuff like that. And it's like, well, I get it, Jets. I get it that you don't want us to see this moment because that's hard on a player. But that's literally why we fans watch, right? Like, we want to see that awkward stuff. We want to see the inside the building stuff, the inside the coaches' closed door office meetings. Like, that's what we're watching for because we haven't gotten that. So if you're going to take away the stuff that we're watching for, Hard Knocks is just going to disappear. Hard Knocks is under contract through 2024, so I'm assuming that next year we'll see somebody forced into it as well. But again, in the early days, it was the inside look at the building, nothing like we had ever seen before. Social media was not dominating the NFL, so Hard Knocks was how we saw into the back rooms of these hallways of these NFL facilities and stuff. And it was guiding how like we viewed different teams. I remember leaving, watching the Ravens or watching the Jets and just being like having just a deeper understanding of Rex Ryan. And let's go get some snacks and stuff like that. It was giving us memes. It gave us the two bananas meme. Like, I mean, this is good stuff, man. Like, so to see the way that the it's not Hard Knocks' fault per se. It's the social media aspect of how the NFL has grown. And things like with the Rams, let's keep it Rams related. Like I talked about, we had the two bananas. Why would the Rams welcome in Hard Knocks when we create our own series in Behind the Grind that is more team focused, more team represented? It's created inside the building. It's less of a distraction for these guys to be in the building because they work there already. The players know these guys. These guys know the players. They understand the team. They understand what the team is wanting to showcase. They understand what the team is wanting to not really show people. It's already here. They're in the building. The cameras are already here. These people know this team. They know the fan base. And they can just give us something that's way better than Hard Knocks ever could. I'll be honest. Like I said, I used to love Hard Knocks. I didn't even finish the one that they covered the Rams and the Chargers because it was just not interesting at all. I get so pumped when I see that a new Behind the Grind episode is out. I don't care at all what Hard Knocks is doing anymore. I just don't. And that's because of social media and because of the teams. The production teams that the Rams have in-house is unbelievable. And honestly, it is the level of HBO's Hard Knocks. The Behind the Grind series is so good that it could be on a network like that, but it's for us. It is ours, and I absolutely love that. So, like I said, teams now have the ability, the skill, and the platforms to create their own Hard Knocks-like shows like Behind the Grind, and they can just do it themselves. They don't need to bring in and out any outside sources, and the NFL teams no longer need anything like Hard Knocks to showcase what is going on or what they want to show what's going on inside their building. and anything like that. In training camp, it's well covered. We get series like Behind the Grind. I'm trying to think of the other names of some of the other ones, because if you watch other teams' series too, they're so good. I was watching the Browns series like all last year because they just do such a good job production-wise. It's not that I care about the Browns. It's that I'm a media guy, and I kind of geek out on sick video shots and sweet editing, you know? So to see teams be able to do it themselves, I think is really cool. And it makes all the sense in the world that that is just the path that the NFL is going. So I would assume that HBO's Hard Knocks will have this season with the Jets and maybe one other season. And I'm going to guess that it goes ahead and kind of dips away unless they can dramatically change their approach and make it something worthwhile, make it something that is something that they can offer that teams cannot, which honestly, I don't have any ideas there. So good luck to HBO and the Hard Knocks crew, but I don't understand how they'll be able to adjust with what the NFL media and individualized media with each NFL team, what that has grown to. I'm not sure how an outside source in HBO and Hard Knocks, that crew, I'm not sure how they can compete. I just don't see it being possible. Let's go ahead and shift gears because training camp is officially underway. I've been watching press conferences this morning, and that is so exciting. So we got some good little tidbits of information. We know that Hunter Long and Warren McClendon are going to be placed on the PUP as they are dealing with their own injuries, but expected to be okay. Hopefully we do see them pop up in preseason games. Not sure exactly how long they're going to be down for, but training camp beginning today. As of recording, it is the 25th of July, so it's exciting times, man. We are here, we are excited, and of course training camp to me is the official start of football season, so I'm just pumped for it. And let's talk about training camp here a little bit. So we talked about this on Ram Showcase Live every Mondays, streaming on YouTube and Facebook. But I wanted to mention here the open practices for the Rams if you happen to live in the area and want to check out some cool stuff. So Saturday, July 29th, this weekend is officially sold out. These are all free events, by the way. You just need to claim tickets. But first one, the 29th, is officially closed up, sold out. It is back together Saturday. You're scoring your 2023 schedule magnets, and autograph opportunities come from the offensive line. So give Rob Havenstein a high five for Sheriff Joe Bags this Saturday if you will be out there, and let him know that I am absolutely not one of the people who forgets that he is so sick and has been here for so long. Next open camp going to be coming out on Monday, the 31st of July. You're scoring a Rams drawstring bag and meeting with the wide receivers. So obviously, Cooper Kupp, the big name there, Van Jefferson, Tutu Atwell, Benny Scope, Puka Nacua, great opportunities for autographs there. Following day, the 1st of August, you get your Rams Challenge coin, which I'll be honest, I don't know what that is, but it's exciting nonetheless, and your autographs are coming from the quarterbacks and running backs, so awesome opportunity to maybe score some rookie autos here, maybe a Stetson Bennett, maybe that'll be worth something in some time, pretty sick stuff. Cam Akers, obviously, as well. You get to meet Kyron Williams and maybe Zach Evans in there. Sony Michel, that'll be a good one as well. I'm sure that we'll get some good photos. By the way, always feel free to share photos with your friendly neighborhood Sheriff Joe Bags at Ram Showcase at Sheriff Joe Bags. If you are there, I absolutely love seeing this stuff. Being in Colorado, I am obviously very far away from training camp, so this stuff is awesome to me. The next open day, August 3rd, that's Vamos Rams Day. You're scoring that mariachi towel and the Vamos Rams poster, and you're also meeting with the defensive line. There's going to be mariachi Rams performing in the Corona Beer Garden. They'll be performing from 3:30 to 4:15, so if you're out there as well, definitely go have an awesome time. That sounds so sick. What a sick way to spend a Thursday. Like, that's so dope. All right. And the next day, next open day is going to be Saturday, August 5th. That is sold out, however. That one's going to be, you're scoring, it's Legends Day. So, of course, it's sold out. It's a Saturday and it's Legends Day. That's going to be a good one. Rams Legends poster. You're also getting autographs from linebackers. Sunday, the very next day, you're scoring the Rams drawstring bag and a sticker pack. And you get autographs from tight ends and special teams. So be sure to congratulate Big Rig Higgs on being the best tight end in franchise history. And then the final one here on the list is going to be on August 8th. That is a Tuesday. You're getting your 2023 Rams calendars and meeting with the defensive backs, where you get to see Kobe Durant, who is absolutely in an awesome spot for breakout this season. So that's very exciting stuff. And I talked about this on Ram Showcase Live on Monday. But if you're going to be out here, my only suggestion to you, this is my only advice on getting autographs from players in the sea of fans who are trying to get autographs from these guys. How do you stand out? Well, you know their first name. I'll be honest. That goes so far with some of these guys. Just know who they are instead of just holding out a poster and a pen and just holding it in front of them, being like, hey, it does a lot and it goes a long way if you know who they are, if you can ask them questions more specific to them, and don't be a weirdo, all right? But like, if you can, my example is when the Rams played in Denver and Chase Reynolds was talking with his family. There was a guy right next to me just yelling, hey, holding out his Sharpie to Chase. Chase didn't even look over. And I said, hey, Chase, when you get a second, can you sign this for me, man? And he looked over and walked right over to me. And he literally said to me, he was like, man, knowing who we are goes a long way. And that's it, man. That is it. And I've got plenty of examples of that. Different guys that when they're walking up and you can call them by name, that gets their attention, man. Instead of just yelling, hey, or hey, sign this, hey, that it really does go a long way to just know who these guys are. And I know that this year specifically, that is so difficult to do. Because we have so many new faces, but study up, man. Go through that list on the Rams website, on the Rams app. They got their face next to them. Just kind of take a peek, man. And it, worst case scenario, kind of just keep it open and you can kind of be looking for them and just kind of understand it, on each day when you're going, if you're going on a day that position group, just put your eyeballs on the list and take a peek at those guys' faces, because that, like I said, goes a very long way. And just being cool with them, knowing, showing that you are a legitimate fan, that you're not just trying to get something signed, and yeah, it's just cool stuff, man. So that's kind of my little point on that. But of course, with camp beginning, it's not just about getting stuff signed. It's not just about showing up and burning under that LA sun. It is about these players and who's going to pop this year. Because like I said, we've got a lot of young guys on this team right now, and we don't know who's going to be good, who's going to be bad, who's going to stick around, who's going to be gone in just a few weeks here. Some of these guys are not going to have jobs. So that's what we're looking for right now. So obviously the LA Rams in a different season than we've been used to seeing them in, as this year is quite the year to get into camp and preseason. So many rookies on this team. We have almost 40 rookies rocking on this roster right now, which is unheard of, especially in the Sean McVay era for the Rams. We are going to have rookies for the first time under Sean McVay have legitimate roles, not just backup roles where they kind of come in rotation. They have legitimate roles on this team. So let's go ahead and start at the quarterback position. The main name that you are looking for here is going to be rookie quarterback Stetson Bennett. Stet Benatar, Steady B. Actually, you know what? I changed my mind on Steady B. That still feels like Stedman Bailey to me, and it feels uncomfortable to call Stetson Bennett that. Anyway, that's a sidebar. But he's a rookie who's got solid experience. Not a lot of people have this experience. Trey Lance doesn't have near this experience that Stetson Bennett does. He's got champion experience and plenty of playing time under his belt. So look for Stet to be one of the more important role players in camp and preseason. But also keep your eyeballs on Brett Rypien. Let's see what he is going to do during this camp. I'm not convinced that the Rams are going to keep three quarterbacks, but if they do, I would anticipate that it's going to be Brett Rypien. Dresser Win probably not going to get a lot of playing time in the games, in the preseason games. But let's see if his name pops up at all when we're sifting through tweets talking about Rams camp. Next up at the running back spot, Sony Michel, obviously making his return to the Rams. I'm kind of confused still at what Sony Michel's role is going to be on this defense or on this offense going into this year, or if he's only here for like camp and preseason. So we still don't know what to expect or how long he's going to be hanging out. But I think that his camp will be telling, because if he can show that he is still a productive back, then it makes sense that he'll be able to stick around. But then how many running backs do the Rams keep? Because Kyren Williams, we did not hear a lot from him last year. Even after Hendo was waived, we still did just not hear a lot from Kyren Williams. When he got out there, he looked fine. But I say this a bunch, and I'm sure I'll say it again here, is that if the coaching staff isn't itching to get a player out on the field, there's no reasons for the fans to be calling for it. They know these guys better than we do, and they would know if a guy is going to have a legitimate impact or not. And then rookie, Zach Evans. It feels like Evans might not get his name said a lot this season, but if he does during camp, then maybe we'll see him climb up that depth chart. And if Zach Evans, Kyren Williams, if they come into camp showing that they can really get it done, does that spell the end of Sony Michel's time on the 2023 Rams roster? So those are all something that we're keeping an eye on. Obviously, this is the first camp in quite a while that we can remember that there's so many different question marks. And that's not really a bad thing. And if anything, that just it spurs competition. And that should be exciting to any fan here. So moving on to wide receiver, we'll start with Tutu Atwell because we have not seen the pop from Tutu quite yet. And it feels like if it like this year, it has to happen this year. And if it doesn't happen this year, I'm going to go ahead and say he doesn't have it. So I'm not going to say right now that he doesn't have it. I'm going to say right now that we haven't seen evidence that he is just scheduled to pop this year. That we don't know, all right? But if it doesn't happen this year, I'm fully on the train that he does not have it. Next up is going to be Ben Skowronek, Benny Sko, the Sko Plow. He's a good all-around player. He can obviously play at fullback as well, but I'm looking for him to take that next step. So will that be this season? I think preseason, if he plays in preseason, that's going to be telling. Same with Tutu at all. Who plays and doesn't play in preseason tells us something. If they're not playing in preseason, chances are they're going to be here week one, and we want them to be healthy. If they are playing in preseason, chances are there's a few different options here, obviously, but there's the chances that they need some reps, and we just need to get them out there. That's going to be the case for a lot of rookies who will still see the final 53-man roster, but we will see them in preseason. But also, it could mean that they're just fighting for their lives out here. So that's also something. So keep your eye out on who is dressed in preseason, because that will give us some answers. Next, we'll go to Tyler Johnson and DeMarcus Robinson. I put these two together because I'm still surprised that they're here, I'll be honest. And I'm curious to see what their impact on camp is and if either or both is going to be sticking around as we enter the regular season. So we know Cooper Kupp is wide receiver one. We feel very good that Jefferson's going to be wide receiver two. Behind that, it does get a little bit more dicey. Is it going to be Puka Nacua? Is it going to be Benny Sko? Is it going to be Tutu Atwell? Is it going to be Tyler Johnson or DeMarcus Robinson? These are all questions that we have to answer. So obviously, we don't know that yet, but we feel good about one and two. The rest are kind of up for grabs, I would say, so that we'll just keep our eyes on it. Who's being talked about? Who's not being talked about? Which brings us to Puka Nacua, the rookie wide receiver. Let's see. So Puka, obviously, he's got a bunch of talent, and he comes into a position where he could have a very legitimate impact on the Rams offense this year. But how loud does that hype train get during camp and preseason? And again, we kind of know the history of his injuries, and we know that we can't guarantee that just because he's been hurt in the past, he's just going to get beat up again this year. But it is something that's in everybody's mind that he's dealt with injuries a lot. And some people are just kind of susceptible to injuries, i.e. Sam Bradford. Like, it seemed like even normal hits, for some reason, it was like catastrophic to him. And I don't know if that's like some weird genetics thing or what, but Puka Nacua, as long as he can stay healthy, he should be okay. Tight end, we have six guys fighting for what I would guess is two or three spots. No real word on how many guys the Rams will keep at tight end, although tight end is not a very hefty position in the Rams offensive scheme under McVay. So two makes sense. Three feels realistic as well. Hunter Long, we're keeping an eye on him. Of course, he is getting put on the pup, but he was making some splashes in OTAs. We heard his name in OTAs, which tells us something, but what? That we don't quite know yet. Being on the pup does, of course, hurt, but if he can come back and start making some impacts in these preseason games, then that definitely helps his cause. We also have the rookie, Davis Allen, who, coming in as a rookie, he's given off real big Jacob Harris vibes, and I don't mean that as, like, a detriment or anything, because it seems like every year the Rams have preseason heroes, and that's good. That's definitely not a bad thing at all. But it does skew the expectations, I think, of some fans. And some fans will see incredible preseason performances and think that like we need to get this guy as a starter. But just because somebody like Davis Allen plays well in preseason doesn't mean that he should probably start over Higbee, because Higbee being one of the better players at that position this team has ever seen, a rookie is not going to come in and just dethrone him right away like that. I know that if Allen does come in and is awesome in preseason, though, we are going to hear, it's probably going to be from like the Sports Illustrated or there's some Rams websites that kind of like overreact a lot. And that's one that I think is coming, that Davis Allen should start over Tyler Higbee. He shouldn't, all right? Maybe he is better, but like, let's let that be a year two thing, and we can kind of develop that from there. But Davis Allen being in preseason, I think, is obviously going to be a very big help to Stetson Bennett, and their connection, I think, will continue to grow. And I think that that's kind of where that the expectations will be skewed. But again, he also might just be awesome. Maybe he should start over Tyler Higbee. We'll see what happens. And then let's move to the offensive line as we wrap up the offensive side of the ball here. So I'm looking for Joseph Noteboom, because with the Rams offensive line last year and the injuries that the Rams saw last year, the good news is we come into this year super healthy, because these guys didn't even finish the year last year, so they had plenty of time to get healthy. So Noteboom, he did start poorly last year. Even before he got hurt, he was not playing well. He had given up so many pressures. I want to say I saw a stat, and forgive me, I didn't like write it down or screenshot or anything, but I want to say that the stat that I saw was he either gave up as many or a few more pressures just in the games that he played last year than Andrew Whitworth did in the previous two seasons combined. So Noteboom was not playing well. And I think that this is a very big season for Joseph Noteboom. If he does not play well this year, then chances are he's probably not going to make it to the 2024 Rams. I'd be surprised if he plays poorly, if he still does stick around. And the Rams are clearly fine with shuffling around the offensive line. So if Boom wants to keep playing, a strong camp feels necessary for him. Coleman Shelton and Brian Allen at the center position, it feels like this is a legitimate battle now. So Brian Allen doesn't really have any versatility. He is a center. Coleman Shelton can play at center or either guard spot, so that gives him kind of, in my opinion, a leg up on Brian Allen, especially because I think Coleman Shelton is better center than Brian Allen. So from my perspective, the value that Coleman Shelton has over Brian Allen is very abundant, and so it wouldn't shock me to see Brian Allen be cut if the team is also seeing what I'm seeing. If not, maybe I'm seeing something wrong, or maybe I don't understand enough about Brian Allen's game and his mental preparation from the outside of the building to know what he's actually bringing to the offensive line. I just really like Coleman Shelton. I think he's a better center. We did hear in OTAs that Coleman Shelton was taking reps with the ones, so if that continues, I would anticipate that Brian Allen's going to get cut. If we are hearing that Coleman Shelton is taking reps with the ones, I would anticipate that Brian Allen is absolutely a potential cut. Let's move on to Alaric Jackson. So Jackson, obviously, he's performed well at left tackle, and we have fans that definitely want him at left tackle over Noteboom. So this is a good battle at the left tackle spot, because we don't have a guy who's just solid in that role. In fact, I'd say the only guy who's solid in their role is Rob Havenstein at right tackle. So hearing Alaric Jackson's name from Rams reporters in training camp and preseason is going to be a very good thing for him. And then Tremaine Ankrum is who we'll end this on. He's been around for a little while now, but always kind of as a depth piece. And is this year he can take that leap? Is he only good enough to make the roster but not start? If that is the case, then I think his chances of making this roster are a little low, considering the turnover that we're seeing at the offensive line spot. Maybe his depth role can be taken by a younger guy, maybe a Logan Bruss in that situation. Flip into the defensive side of the football. On the defensive line, we have Kobe Turner. Number 91, he was zero in college, but Turner, he enters the defensive line group after some big name departures, and that is a perfect opportunity for a young guy to come in and make an immediate impact, especially when you're lining up next to Aaron Donald, one of the best to ever do it. Also, Marquise Copeland, the Rams made it a point to bring him back, and I think that we'll see throughout camp and throughout preseason exactly why the Rams were so adamant about bringing Marquise Copeland back. Moving to linebacker, it's a largely unknown group outside of Ernest Jones, who is in a position to become a major leader for this team. So we should see plenty of press opportunities from Jones. So I think that fans will see the passion that we've already seen from his press conferences. I think we'll see that a lot. And I think that fans are going to be, as the preseason rolls on, I think that fans are going to be more and more high on Ernest Jones throughout all of his press conferences. Christian Roseboom, he is in a position to fight for a role. He's been here for a while now, so maybe he can develop into a leader, especially in such a young group. So we'll see. I'm guessing that we'll see Roseboom and Zach Van Valkenburg both in preseason. By the way, Zach Van Valkenburg, what a name. I want him to start simply because of his name, but I also love Christian Roseboom, so I'm at a little bit of a crossroads here. But either way, for me, in my position, there's no losing between these two guys. These guys are both awesome, so that's pretty sweet stuff. But Van Valkenburg, he's also in a position where he could maybe start next to Jones. Plus, great name. Daniel Hardy, as we move over to outside linebacker here. Daniel Hardy, he's a young guy. He's dealt with injuries. I don't think we've seen him play to his full potential. But, hey, new year, new chance for Daniel Hardy. And he came in looking way more jacked this year than he has in previous years. So, hey, let's see if that translates into production and being awesome on the football field. Michael Hoyt, we did hear from him in the opening press conferences of training camp. He's now got a full offseason working outside linebacker. He did say that was his focus, is focused on training for different things. So I'm really excited to see what Michael Hoyt can do at that outside linebacker spot. Obviously, he had his detriments last year at that role and not really setting the edge right and stuff like that on different occasions. But now he's got a full offseason working out for that position. So I'm really excited to see what he can do and looking forward to hearing his name throughout camp, because a Daniel Hardy, Michael Hoyt combo makes a lot of sense at the outside linebacker spot. Also, a Michael Hoyt and Byron Young combo makes a lot of sense, as Byron Young coming in as a rookie, he's in a position to be the team's rookie of the year on the defensive side. He really has everything that we could have asked for in a rookie stepping into a position that Flo filled last year, Leonard Floyd. So he's really got it all. He's got the motor. He's got the skill set. He really does have everything that we could have asked for, bringing in a rookie to fill the role that Leonard Floyd has been playing. So I'm really excited to see Byron Young. It feels like, I don't want to say guaranteed, obviously, because that's not real, but like it feels like Byron Young is in the perfect spot to just have a legitimate impact on this season as such a young guy. And we'll see a number zero for the first time in Rams history out there, rushing after the passer nonetheless. So Byron Young, I think he's in a position to, be in that conversation for Rams Rookie of the Year at the very minimum, hopefully for more. And then also young guys coming in, O'Shawn Mathis and Nick Hampton, two rookies who enter a room with openings. And if they can make a big impact in camp and in preseason, they could absolutely hit a rotation on this defensive, on the edge rushing as we enter this season, considering it is a development year. It is a year we have so many young guys. Let's see who these guys are. So I'm sure we'll get them into a rotation, which will be really nice, and keep guys like Byron Young, Michael Hoyt, Daniel Hardy, keep them fresh, even though we need to get them reps as well. But just get in that rotation, see who stands out. And then the 2024 Rams, I feel really confident in saying that in 2024, we'll know exactly who our OLBs are going to be going into that season based off of this season. That's just, it feels right, you know? Like, I think it makes sense. All right, moving on. Cornerback. Kobe Durant feels like a guy who could be a breakout player in the secondary, likely won't play in preseason, but we did hear from him in the opening press conferences as well. He's willing to step in wherever he could and wherever he's asked. And he very well could be taking over that star role. I think he's got the skill set to do it. I think he's also got the energy to do it. I think he's a very, very talented player. And he did make a couple of mistakes last year, but overall, he was very exciting, regularly in the right position, had very good things to say about Aubrey Pleasant. So I'm excited to see what Kobe Durant does this year. Darian Kendrick, who kind of came in with him, feels like a season where DK either has to rise up from the crowd or he's going to get lost in it. We'll see which happens. I like Darian Kendrick. I think that he is, I don't want to say underrated, but because we haven't really seen a whole lot from him, but he's got, like, he was a player that I was so excited for. I was more excited for DK than I was for Durant. And I mean, obviously Durant had the better season, but Darian, I think, is still a very talented player. So I want to see where he fits into this defense, especially in the secondary. And then Akello Witherspoon coming in, added late, but is this somebody who's going to be a top three in the room? Like, he kind of comes in with a little bit more experience, obviously being a Niner, being a Steeler. So he's got that, you know, to hang his hat on a little bit. But I feel very weird about bringing him in here because I was so excited about seeing these young guys, seeing DK, seeing Durant, seeing Trey Tomlinson and Robert Rochelle. So the Akello Witherspoon addition is, I guess, surprising to me. But hey, man, if he can come in and play, then he can come in and play. And that's awesome. Moving on to Trey Tomlinson, another player who I would say is in a position where he could be the team's defensive rookie of the year. He stands at 5'9", but that is not a detriment to his play at all. Dude is an absolute star, and it feels like the Rams really potentially have a steal in this role here, as he comes in number 6, obviously some draft representation there from Trey Tomlinson, and obviously a good pedigree. We always have to kind of mention that when it comes to Trey Tomlinson. The name, if that sounds familiar, it should, because his uncle is a Hall of Famer. But he comes in, like I said, as an undersized guy, but that does not hurt his play at all. So I think that as long as he keeps that underdog mentality, then he's in position to have a very good year, and I'm excited to see what he brings to this Rams defense. Which brings us to Robert Rochelle, who we've had high hopes on for, I guess, a few years now, and maybe I'm alone here, but I've always felt like he's better than he's played. And this year, it seems like this is like the make it or break it year, right? Like if Robert Rochelle doesn't pop this year and show that he can be one of those top guys, then maybe he doesn't have it either. But I feel like we've not seen him play to his full potential. So this preseason, this training camp, I think is going to be huge for Robert Rochelle, not only to make this team to stick around long term or anything, but if he wants to not get just lost in the depth and be like the fifth or sixth guy at corner, I think he has to have a very strong camp and preseason. And then some of the others, we are listening just for names in this grouping. Like obviously like guys like Sean Jolly and names like that of just that, who knows who's going to pop this year, but we are kind of now, I guess, flooded at this role. So if anybody's going to stand out in preseason and camp, then that is obviously massive for their chances of making the end roster here. And then at the safety spot, Jordan Fuller is the clear-cut leader of the secondary now. He doesn't really have any of that veteran competition, I would say, to be just the clear-cut leader of that secondary group. But Quentin Lake, he's coming in. He could be seen plenty this season, and he's just got to take advantage of his opportunity, because obviously Quentin Lake, being here last year, he's got a good understanding, and I think that I like the way that he learns, if that makes any sense at all. So I'm really excited to see the impact of Aubrey Pleasant on Quentin Lake, and that's exactly what I would ask him. I would ask him what it's been like to work with Aubrey Pleasant. I know that Kobe Durant got that question today, but I would like to see what Quentin Lake, what he has to say about that. Fuller as well. I know that Fuller's worked with him before, but to see the impact of Aubrey Pleasant, I think is going to be very abundant, very clear in that secondary. Even with the young guys, they're going to be put in good positions because of Aubrey Pleasant, and Quentin Lake is a guy that could take full advantage of that. Another guy who could, though, is Jason Taylor II. Rookie coming in, another rookie who has a chance to make a very legitimate impact this season, and it would not surprise me at all to see a Taylor and Fuller combo at the safety spot, as Jason Taylor looks like he could absolutely be a playmaker. And we got different guys in different areas as far as the rookies go. So if we want to just kind of recap the rookies, we have rookies in every grouping that feel like they could have a very good impact. And in some of those situations would mean maybe we see some unfortunate injuries here, but in every position group, we have a rookie who could, if needed, we feel like could show us something that would be awesome this year, whether that's Stetson Bennett at quarterback, Zach Evans at running back, Davis Allen at tight end, Warren McClendon, Steve Avila from on the offensive line, Puka Nacua at wide receiver, Trey Tomlinson at corner. We've got Jason Taylor at the safety spot, Kobe Turner on the defensive line, and then Byron Young and some of these other guys, O'Shawn Mathis, Nick Hampton as the linebackers. So there's guys in every single role in the entire special teams is pretty much brand new guys. So we have like rookies at every role too that could really see a big impact this year. And that's kind of exciting. It's terrifying, but it's also very exciting. So to see who's going to pop this year, we still obviously don't know that. But as we dive into camp, that's kind of my whole point with all of this is as we dive into camp, let's see who's popping. All right. Let's see which one of these guys are taking this incredible opportunity that you have in the Los Angeles Rams roster right now with not a lot of just clear-cut starters outside of guys like Kupp, Stafford, Donald, Havenstein, Higbee, like guys like that who are just obviously Fuller, like guys who are just clear-cut starters on this team. There's position battles everywhere, and that is so exciting as we dive into training camp here. It's the 25th of July right now. And yeah, we are getting into it. This is, to me, the official start of football season. This is it right here, is the start of training camp. We got preseason right around the corner, just weeks away until we see these guys hit an actual football field, and we get to see it with our own eyeballs. We get to see what Puka Nacua does with Stetson Bennett at quarterback and Davis Allen, what he can do, and maybe we'll see Steve Avila on the offensive line. We get to see what he can do. Maybe he doesn't have those plays like Logan Bruss getting totally bull rushed last year, because that was not what we wanted to see. But we'll probably see a lot of these young guys in the secondary. We'll probably see, maybe we will see Trey Tomlinson. That'll be telling to see if we do or do not. But I'm excited to see some of these young edge rushers, O'Shawn Mathis, Nick Hampton. It's exciting times right now, and because we don't know. So That's my PSA, is we don't have the answers here. And I can give you predictions until I'm blue in the face, but ultimately we don't know. We don't know what these guys are talking about in the locker rooms right now. We don't know what these guys are motivated by. Maybe a guy that we don't think is going to pop this year, maybe he's sitting there with the biggest reasoning in the world in that locker room right now. Maybe he's got more drive than anybody in this locker room to make this team and get to that second contract, where he can make sure that he and his family are good for generations. Who knows who that guy is in that building right now? And that, to me, is what is so exciting. So that is going to do it for this episode 9 of season 8 of Ram Showcase. Make sure you follow me everywhere, at Sheriff Joe Bags, at Ram Showcase, and definitely ramshowcase.com. As we dive into training camp, as we dive into the season, we will be keeping up regular content there that will be, of course, shared on the Ram Showcase social media pages. So take your peeks there. If you would like to support the show, the best way to do that is by snagging some Ram Showcase merch. I will be adding a few items to the merch list there on the website. So if you head to ramshowcase.com, click on that merch tab, you'll see some things popping in there, and some will be potentially related to the Ram Showcase Live. And again, that is every Monday, streaming on YouTube as well as Facebook. So check it out there. And that's for the fans. So Ram Showcase, the podcast, is for me to just unload my brain onto you. But for Ram Showcase Live, that's to get interaction. Everybody's welcome to hop on the stream and just have a conversation with me, or if you just want to ask me questions in the comments. It is a fan-driven event, so it is all about the topics that you would like to discuss. It's not about the topics that I would like to discuss. And sometimes there are topics that I don't really love, but hey, it's not for me, right? It's for the fans. If you all want to talk about Madden ratings, hell yeah, let's talk about Madden ratings. But I still don't see the point in them. But hey, it's cool, right? It's cool. We're all just here to have a good time and support the LA Rams, which is what we're doing here and on the Rams Showcase Live. And those times change every week, so there's nothing set in stone as far as that goes, but that will continue throughout the season. So we'll be mainly talking about the previous game and giving out our game badges and all that stuff. And then the previews will be on the podcast version every single week. So that is going to do it for me. I'm going to go ahead and peace on out of here and just get my mind way too excited about some training camp, because it's here now. Football is here. And we're pumped about it. So at Ram Showcase, at Sheriff Joe Bags. And that's going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio and the Fansided Network. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening. And go Rams.